Let's do a wrap-up on today's program. We began with Randall Ray, who just returned from the Bretton Woods Conference over the weekend. That's been funded by George Soros. Of course, Glenn Beck made all kinds of hysterical announcements about this coven of anti-sovereign Bilderberger types, backroom people who are going to destroy the very essence of American freedom and sell us to some international consortium of bankers led by George Soros. In fact, it really is a kind of an irrelevant debating society of smart economists, but their word's not getting out. And that extends to the general problem that the Democrats are completely absent. If the Republicans have stolen the narrative, they're dominating the discourse, they're driving the politics behind this deficit hoax. None of it makes any sense. You don't cut money from a sick economy. It makes no economic sense. But there's no pushback. There's no arguments from the Democrats. And Randall Ray was a pretty grim analysis. And we even went into the extent to which the commodity prices are gouging the average American for food and gasoline. That's all a part of the same people on Wall Street that we rescued. Now they're screwing us with this speculative bubble, which is entirely unproductive. One of the points that he made was that the reason it's unproductive is, frankly, there's nowhere else for the rich to put their money except to inflate the stock market. There's no, the real estate market's gone south. So there's clearly some need to have a rational economy and not one that's controlled by the super rich and the super greedy. That became also the theme of the second guest, Scott Klinger, the co-author of a report from the Institute of Policy Studies called Unnecessary Austerity, Unnecessary Shutdown. He suggested that reversing the tax giveaways for the super rich could erase the debt and end the deficits in a matter of 10 years, and then laid out some of the really shocking statistics about how little corporations pay in tax. The difference from 1961 to the present, where back in 1961, millionaires paid 43.1% of their income in taxes. Now, in this year, 2011, they pay 23.1%. So they've almost down by a half. And corporations back in 1961 paid 47.4% of their profits in tax. Now it's down to 11.1%. Welcome to the oligarchy, and it was really a shocking revelation. And again, we also, with him, addressed the issues of commodity prices and pointing out that in so many ways, other countries, European countries, have changed the rules to discourage speculation by a speculative tax, so you don't have these people churning over trades for the sake of trading, like these high-speed computer trading that Goldman Sachs is making a ton of money at by literally moving their computer right next to the stock exchange to get that millisecond of speed of light advantage. But they don't make any productive contribution to the overall economy. He also suggested there should be a tax on anybody but end users in the commodities market. In other words, oil refineries, airlines who need gasoline and need have a stable supply should be able to invest in the mercantile exchange and buy future contracts, but not people who are essentially, ironically, of course, it's pension funds that are driving up that's the money that's driving up the price of gasoline. So the rich Americans are screwing poor Americans. It's that simple. And then finally, we had a debate with Stephen Zunis, who, following Juan Cole's critique of leftist opponents to intervention in Libya today, we had a anti-interventionist giving his argument, which he put forth, that the Libyan opposition should not have resorted to armed struggle. I'm not sure that they had any choice. He said that once they took up armed struggle, they lost the civil war. Arguably, had they not been rescued by NATO as they were being driven back, and Gaddafi said he would crush them like insects and rats, there would have been no more armed struggle. That's one way of ending it with a victory for Gaddafi.